morning, everybody. Welcome to Cross Point. I'm Pastor Barry. We're glad you're here today. We're going to have a good time today. This is going to be very different as it relates to what we normally might do on a Sunday, but we want to welcome you to A Mom's Life. We're going to have our four of our distinguished women come to the platform right now. Pastor Candy, if you'd come. We want Pastor Danny to come. We want Pastor Renee to come. We want Pastor Lacey to come. You got to call Pastor this morning, Lace. Sit however you will. No divine appointment where you're going to be sitting. And we're going to set it up a little bit here for you. So this is what, how it's going to roll. By the way, if you don't know it yet, there is something happening that is so beyond our understanding right now. And I'm going to keep saying this every single week to every single one of us in this house until we all get it, is this. You cannot live by what you see in the natural. You must live by what you expect God to do or what you see in your with your spiritual eyes, what you see in the spirit realm. You've got to live for that belief that God's going to do something far beyond what he's doing and what we see in the natural. Because if you live by what you see in the natural, sometimes you can get a bit disillusioned, a bit disappointed with God. You start blaming God for things that he had nothing to do with. I'm encouraging you right now, hold on, because what Pastor Danny just shared is just a small glimpse of what we've been dreaming for. We've been talking about this for so many years. There'll come a day when we went from being concerned about everything that happens inside the walls to saying, if this church went away, would anyone even notice? Guess what? I promise you, the city of La Mesa would now know we're gone. So we ain't going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And here's the thing. We want a lot more people to go with us. But whoever wants to go with us, we're going there no matter what. Right? It's exciting days, guys. Probably been never a more stressful time than where we are right now in terms of the world. But man, God's good. All the time. He doesn't change. He doesn't change, right? All right, here we go. Check this out, this panel. Here's what we're going to do. Each one of our moms this morning are going to take a window of time, just a small window of time. They're going to share a couple thoughts with us about being a mom. And you can kind of see the diversity of who we've got up here this morning. We've got Lacey Girl, who is full-time mom, a full-time employee of a bank, and two little kids that are actually so mellow and so just chill that she has no challenge at all. Leads worship with everything she's got every week, every month, every year, and we just honor that. Thank you, Lacey. We got next to her mama, married 31 years to the most amazing man in the world right there. Take my opportunity to toot my own horn. And three children, two grandbabies, full-time employee for SDG&E, and works just countless hours here at the church, and a completely different season, obviously, than what Lacey is, but she's up here this morning as so many different things. We have Pastor Danny here, who is a mom and raising two children, and all of a sudden decided to adopt. When most are like, we're done. No, let's start all over again. And completely challenging different season for you as a mama, working just crazy hours with City Hope, pastor on staff, married how many years? 20 this summer. Pretty cool. To the most amazing man in the world, Kurt Womack. Yeah. Kurt, tooting your horn for you, buddy. Yeah. Work it, Kurt. Work it. And then Renee Osborne, mama of two, married how many years? 17 years to an amazing man. Got the best hair in the world. And raising one teenager and one preteener. So I think we've got a real great group of people here this morning that can share from just different perspectives on mom life. So even if you're a mom this morning, guess what? It's not about whether you are or aren't. It's about gleaning what Holy Spirit might be saying for our church family, for the marketplace, how you can carry this into the marketplace. And so we just look forward to it. And in just a moment, after they're done sharing, we're gonna share some questions that have been prepared. And we're going to have different ones on the panel respond to the questions that have been prepared. So, Craig, do we want to do the tweet thing or not? Yeah. Oh, there it is. Yeah. So get creative here. Tag it. Hashtag Mom Life. If you have a question for us, you go to Pastor Craig and we'll go from there. All right. Let's start with Lacey Girl. And with your red hair. Is that red? That's red. Very nice. Yeah. So, Lacey, take it away.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I actually really don't like speaking in front of people. I know that's probably surprising because I sing in front of everybody every week, but it's very intimidating, so bear with me. I have only been a mom a short time, 4 years. Grayson's 4.5, Bexley's 2, and they're a lot of energy, but something I've been thinking about is how some moms have planned to be moms for a long time. And I wasn't one of them. I felt like it was just kind of thrust upon me. And, you know, it happened very fast. After I got married, a couple months later, we found out we were pregnant. So I felt like it was something that, you know, I hadn't prepared my heart for. And it was something that I, unlike other moms, was prepared for. So I felt like going into it, I had no idea what to expect other than the fact I had a little sister and helped with her. But, you know, you don't know what to expect. So, it's been quite the journey for me, and it's not been easy, and I don't know about how many of you work full-time, but only getting a couple hours at night and getting the weekends with them, it was a challenge to kind of figure out what that looked like, and I know they're still little, but something I found interesting is figuring out how they feel loved and how they show their love, and it's very different than the way that I feel and show love. And it's interesting trying to figure out how to display and how to show them that. So I don't have very much to say other than that.
Who's ever on the sound? Could you turn this one on for me? Lacey, I'm going to ask you a question. It's kind of out of our format, but I know that you weren't prepared for that. And I might have a little bit of insight just because I kind of know the journey a bit, but has there been moments when it was just like overwhelming being a new mom and working full-time at a bank and then trying to carry a load of a worship team? How have you managed that? Good, bad, and whatever, just... Do you want me to get another microphone? Who's got that going?
It's been very challenging. I probably have... cried more than not. I've probably gotten angry more than I should, and I probably haven't displayed the patience that God has given me the way that I should all the time. But I feel like every day I'm getting better, and I feel like every day with the help of, you know, other moms, I feel like the other moms that I've been able to look to have helped a lot. And it's not easy. It's not easy being a mom and working. It's not easy trying to figure out how to balance that. And I'm still learning. I'm still getting better at it, but it's a daily challenge.
I'm on the opposite spectrum now. Interesting that you said that you weren't prepared to be a mom. I didn't know that my daughter was the same way as me in this. I wasn't one of those women that grew up thinking, one day I'm going to be a wife and mother. I probably thought it would be inevitable, but it wasn't my dream to grow up and be a housewife. That didn't even cross my mind. I actually was more going after a career, and then I met my husband and fell in love when I was 17, got married really young, and life just changed. I became a mom, I think, 4.5 years after we got married. So I didn't think I was that young of a mom, but a lot of people think that 23 is a young mom. And I felt like with my kids that this was a big responsibility, and I wanted to do the very best that I could. And we both came from pretty solid families, not perfect families, but pretty solid. And our parents loved the Lord, put Jesus first. And it amazes me today that people don't make God a priority, because in our homes, it wasn't a question. You went to church if the doors were open. You were at church. If there was a sporting event at school, we weren't there. We were at church. My dad had been a teacher, a music director at various schools in the town that I grew up in, and had been there so long that like he was like an overseer of certain programs. And when I was in high school, the band director expected us to be at practices at night, and my parents said, absolutely not on Wednesday nights, because that's family night at church. And back when I was growing up, when my husband was growing up, that was a thing. Citywide, Wednesday nights was church night, regardless of if you were Assemblies of God, Presbyterian, Catholic, or whatever. Wednesday night was family night, so schools were not supposed to plan anything, and our music director was not happy with that, and kept the schedule for Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we were at church Sundays. I was at school Monday or Tuesday nights, church Wednesday nights, church also somehow on Thursdays along with practice at school, and then we'd had Friday football games or whatever. So my life was that way. My husband's was that way. So that's how we were going to raise our kids, that when the church doors are open, you're going to be there regardless. And good, bad, or whatever, that's just how we chose to raise our kids. And it's kind of interesting to me now that a couple years ago, someone made a comment about my kids being on the platform, and I just thought, well, that's the way we were raised. Our kids were at church. They were very involved because we were very involved with our parents growing up. So it's a different day. It's a different generation. People are raising their kids entirely different, and I'm not judging by how people are now. It's just different. Melissa Perrin, you could probably say the same thing as me, that when we were growing up, church was a priority. City things didn't matter because church was part of the community. And I feel like with City Hope, we're turning things around, that community's going to look at church differently. That's my belief. I feel like my goal as a mom and as a grandma now is to call out greatness in my kids. I have to do the very, very best that I can. And everybody knows probably I am not a perfect mom. I'm not a perfect grandma. I'm not a perfect person. I make mistakes. My kids are not perfect because I'm not perfect, because my husband's not perfect. We all make mistakes. But one of the things that we've had to learn to recognize is the differences in our kids, and they may have qualities like us, but that doesn't make them mini-me's. And sometimes I think that we as parents, we look at our kids and they go, oh, Lacey's so much like me. Lacey and I have similarities, but she has a lot of similarities with her dad. But if I were to say, Lacey's just like me, and expect everything that Lacey does to be exactly like me, I feel like I'm blowing it. It took us a long time to recognize some of the gifts that Lacey had that made her respond to things a certain way. And I've talked to friends that have had kids similar to that. If you have a child that's really discerning, it's easy to go, no, you're wrong. I'm the parent and I know the answer. But sometimes we need to listen when our kids are saying, I don't feel comfortable in this situation. I don't feel comfortable going to this place. Just because you think you know what they're going into doesn't mean that it's okay. If your kids are questioning something, you might want to dig deeper and find out what it is that makes them uncomfortable. And we had a situation with Lacey where we didn't recognize right away that it was her discerning that this was it was not a good place for her to be. And she spoke out, she tried over and over, and I shut her down. And I was wrong. And then I have a son who has this heart of mercy that would take in any person that didn't have a home, and I didn't understand that. And I think I could have quenched some of the things in Blake because I just didn't understand. And we're all works in progress, but I think one of the things that I could say to younger moms is don't try to control so much But really try to press into the Father and ask him to show you with wisdom how to raise your kids. Because they're different than you. They may look like you, they may act like you, but deep down inside, they are not identical to you. They have their own gifts, they have their own calling. And again, I could say, well, I had a call to worship too. My calling's not the same as Lacey's. My daughter has a breakthrough worshiper anointing on her life. I do not have that. Someone told me I needed to sing out something prophetically one time. I didn't know how. When my daughter was asked to do that, she just did it. I don't have the gift like Blake to want to just give everything away and bring everyone into my home to live. And I don't understand that, but God can give me the grace to understand that. And somewhere Mackenzie falls in between the two of them, and we're still trying to figure her out because she's 17. And if any of you have figured out 17-year-old girls, you know, feel free to share your opinions with me, but we are a work in progress. They are a work in progress. And I think that the greatest thing we can do is call out greatness in our kids, pray and ask God to give us great wisdom. And I think another valuable thing, my husband and I were talking about this last night, teach your kids to honor. That's a huge, huge thing. We live in a world where people are disrespecting continually. And I have to say, I was really, really proud last night at the wedding of Jordan and Ashley, and it was time to give the toasts, and the people representing, there were two of them that represented Ashley, the bride, that went up and spoke, and then Blake came up and spoke, and the entire time he was calling out greatness in both Ashley and Jordan, the whole time, and he's saying how awesome Ashley was over and over and over, and we looked at each other, and Barry goes, he's calling out greatness in them right now. And I went over later and I said, Blake, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate the fact that you were trying to call out greatness in Ashley and Jordan. He goes, Mom, I learned from you and Dad. And we've made lots of mistakes, but when he did that, it made me feel really proud for a moment. So teach your kids to honor, respect, and love, and put the Lord first above anything else.
Yeah, she done. Yeah, to tag on that. You mentioned grace. You know, Mom and Dad, when you're parenting your kids, I look back on all these years now, and I think the thing that comes to my mind often is in our weakness, in our inability to parent well, in our lack sometimes, God's grace covers it. Because if I got from my kids what I believe I imparted at times, we probably wouldn't see some of the fruit we're seeing today. But because of God's goodness and his favor in our lives, and because he chose to cover some of the things that we didn't parent well, I believe we're seeing the fruit of some of what our kids' destinies are because of God's goodness and his grace in our lives and our parenting. That makes sense? You need grace in parenting. How about that? All right. Pastor Danny.
Happy Mother's Day. I just want to start off by saying that I get that sometimes Mother's Day can bring up some kind of mixed emotions. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to share today, you know, I don't have a fantastic relationship with my mom. Things were really good for the most part, and she completely disagreed with my decision to go into ministry, and that's created some hiccups. And so some of you might be like me, where trying to pick out a card on Mother's Day to send is challenging. Some of you may have lost your mom. So for me, when we decided that we wanted to have a child and wanted to start a family, I had to really stop and think, because what I thought I kind of wanted, what I knew I wanted my relationship with my kids to be like and how I wanted to parent wasn't something that had been modeled for me. And I knew that kids needed to learn certain things and parents needed to be parents, but I wanted a relational side with my kids that hadn't necessarily been modeled by my mom. And to try to figure out what that looked like at the different ages has been a work in progress. And I think one of the things that we started out with, I would say when our kids were young, but we're back with the young kid. So at the young stage of all of it, is to just be very intentional. The days go by fast, and the kids are learning all the time. And so they're gonna learn what we intentionally teach them. And we were the parents that we didn't go through and do a whole lot of child-proofing the house. We watched the kids. And at our house now, the knife drawers are have the safety lock, and that's it. And anything that I would be devastated if right or broke is put up. Other than that, we watch him, and we're very intentional about what we need to teach him at that age. We need to teach him to obey. We need to teach him to respect. We need to teach him to listen. I need to be able to be across the room. Don't test me on this because it only works 75% of the time. But I need to be able to be across the room and be right or don't touch that, and him to not touch it, right? We need to be intentional when our daughters are young women, what we teach them, what we teach them about how young women should be treated, how we teach them about how they should be valued, what we teach them about their voice, what we teach them about how they interact with other people. When they come across friends that respond differently than they respond because they have different backgrounds, to teach compassion, you have to be intentional. It doesn't just happen. Kids don't just raise themselves. We have to be intentional about what we teach them. And we've tried. We've tried to think about what's important for the different stages and to really be intentional about it. We're at an age now, especially with our girls, where I think it's about empowering them. Kenzie texted me before we started telling me that I had to watch what stories I told. And I have also already got a text, Mom, are you listening to this? But I'll tell a story about Kenzie. When she was really little and we had moved into one of the church houses back here and we were gonna start, we enrolled her in school and she couldn't go to Lemon Avenue right here because it was too overcrowded right then. They didn't have room for her. And I was told that not to worry, they were going to put her on a bus and take her to another elementary school on a bus. And that elementary school was a school that we had been doing a whole lot of outreach at. And I did not want her there. And I went with all the indignation, a righteous indignation I could have, and I prayed. And I remember being in my old office, which is Craig's office now, and just calling out to the Lord saying, you've got to do something. You've got to make a way, right? And the Lord told me, he goes, if I need her to go there, will you let her? To which I said, no. She's six. You don't get her like that at six. At six, it's still all about what's best for her, not, you know. And the Lord says, if I need her there, will you let her go? And that has been one of about four times, very specifically in Kenzie's life, that the Lord has spoken something to me that I knew as a mom. She had a call and God was doing something and preparing her for something that I was not going to be comfortable with. But my job is not to protect her. My job is to empower her. I look at things with Ryder. I'll be very honest. My thoughts of Mother's Day started yesterday when I was scrolling through Facebook and another mom took credit for my son. If I can just be that bold and that honest. His birth mom had posted on Facebook about her three kids, and he was right there and taking credit for my son and saying, I can't wait until the day I get to hold you again. I've never told her she couldn't. We've given her every opportunity. But it reminds me that my son has a reality that he's going to have to face. My job is not to protect him from that. My job is to empower him to handle that. To handle every situation that comes up, right? It's not my job. Even we joke a little bit, Kylie has started playing water polo with all of the enthusiasm that you all would expect from Kylie at water polo, which means not only is she playing water polo where they want to dunk her and they want to drown her, but she has chosen to be the goalie. And the coach has supported this decision, which means that beautiful face has taken more balls right to that little nose. I could protect, right? I could say, not my daughter. Did I mention it's co-ed? And those boys look like they're about 17 going after trying to dunk her. It's not my job. It's not my job to protect. It's my job to empower. Because they don't have calls on their lives that are safe. They don't have calls on their life where their mommy can always go and make sure that they're protected. It's my job to empower them, to equip them, to be able to teach them how to lean on the Lord. When I think about the things my kids have walked through, I am so incredibly proud of how they've walked through it. And I know it's empowered them with things that they'll use later on in life when they need it. So it's not about, for us, it's not about protecting. It's really about trying to empower them for the things that are coming up. And the final thing I wanted to share, and before my children bust up laughing, hear me out on this one, okay? Believe it or not, we do take seriously the verse of scripture that says, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And it also says, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, to my defense, both passages of scriptures talk about that being an instruction to the fathers. So, so if from time to time, but we have tried to take that on as well. And there are times that my children do not like the decisions that we make. There are times they do not like the way that I handle things. And I'm sure that there are times where I provoke them. Times where things happen where it just hits me in ways that I wish it didn't. But they gotta let us as parents grow too sometimes, right? But we really try to not provoke our kids. We really try to make sure that if there's something that they can't do, that we explain why, that we're talking about the reasons why, that we're exploring. And we really try, if there's something that they want to do and we can make it happen, we really try to make it happen. Try to make sure that life's good and that they feel like they're part of the family, they have a voice. The bottom line is there's not three young people I would rather live and share a roof with than the ones that we have. I feel hugely honored to have the kids that I have and to get to do life with them. And I get Mother's Day is one day a year, and I love that because I don't have to cook if I don't want to, and the living room gets picked up if we want it picked up. But reality is, to get to be their mom is an honor all year round, and I love them.
I became a mom at 21 years old, and I was a young mom, and I feel like, kind of like Lacey and Candy was saying, you know, I wasn't really prepared, but really, are any of us prepared for motherhood? I mean, to graduate high school, you need to go through 12 years of training, you know, and tests and exams, and then, you know, pass at the end of it. To get a driver's license, you need to go through maybe driving school, or at least pass the test. A lot of people even don't the first few times. And you need to do all these things. To have a human, you basically just need to find a partner in crime, and 9 months later, you walk out of that hospital with balloons and a congratulations, and you're expected to love, nurture, care for, keep safe, keep alive, you know, feed, clothe, you know, offer advice and encouragement for the rest of yours and their lives. So are we really ever prepared for motherhood? But nonetheless, here we all are today on Mother's Day. Celebrating to the best as we can and hoping that our children are enjoying the fact that we are their mothers. I just did kind of like my top five that I would like to leave with you today, of just encouragement for you and your stage. My stage is of a teenager and a preteen, and that's where I'm at. So I've kind of gone through all the prior stages, and I'm not yet into the next ones, but I have to say that with each new stage, I just love it just a little bit more. It just keeps getting better and better, and I loved it at the beginning. It was very hard, very hard, but there's new challenges, and I just love the conversations and things that I have with my kids now. Josiah, who's 15, and Faith, who's almost 12. And it's very exciting to watch them grow in their destiny and calling of the Lord. But top five, first thing I would say is open communication. Nothing is off the table, ever. No conversation is too awkward. You go for it. You just, you don't have to be weird. don't have to be weird. You don't have to be weird. Just be yourself. You're like, well, I am weird. Okay, well then that's okay then. But just go for it. And you don't have to create odd situations to have awkward conversations. Just be natural and be you and let nothing ever be off the table. Number two, honest vulnerability. Honestly, you either get them or you don't get them. And if you don't get them, it's okay. You'd be like, I'm just not getting you right now. Like, I don't get it. But it's better to be honest about that than to pretend that you get it and that you don't. I don't like the whole, and you know, maybe my generation is just a little bit different or not, I don't know. But the whole, you know, I've been there and I've walked in your shoes and I've done all these things. You know what? Maybe I'm gonna feel like a kid to you guys right now, but I don't actually buy that because I haven't been there. I wasn't a teenager in 2017. I haven't walked in their shoes. I have some stories that might relate a little bit. I have some experiences that might be similar, but I haven't been there. So for my son or my daughter to come to me and say, I'm going through this, I'm like, oh yeah, I've been there. That's not gonna help them. What's gonna help them is just to be honest and be like, okay, I might not quite understand everything, but I wanna listen to what you're saying, and maybe in some way I can relate, and maybe I can help, but really I just want to be here for you. And that's just kind of what I do, just honest vulnerability. And just to add this, situations that you really haven't been there, like, it's one thing to say I've had struggles at high school and you're having struggles at high school and there's relatability. There's another thing when my daughter has walked through heart surgery and I literally have never done that and I will never understand. But I can still be her mom and I can still be there. So just honest vulnerability. Number three, so much fun. Have fun. Have fun in every stage, in every season, have fun. I mean, it's like this. When I was growing up, I remember being at a friend's house one time and I had a glass of milk. I've shared this story with my kids. And their kitchen table was on carpet and I spilled my glass of milk all over their carpet. And literally after I did that, I was like, her parents are gonna kill me. Like, I was like, this is a big deal. I spilled milk on carpet. I was so scared. And I'm like, and so her dad came in the room and he looks at, he sees the milk on the carpet. He looks at me. He's like, it's no big deal. He's kind of laughed. He's like, we'll get it. I have never forgotten that. So even in the crazy chaotic things, just have fun. Just, it's okay. So my kids spill milk. I'm like, nobody can cry over spilled milk. I say that all the time because it meant something to me. If there's been times where they've spit juice out of their mouth across the table, you know, because someone says something funny. And do we have a mess? Yeah, we have a mess. But what are we going to do in that moment? Are we going to be like the eye roll? Or are we all going to bust out laughing? Because I guarantee whatever we do, they'll remember. So just have fun, create memories, go on vacations, take pictures, silly pictures, crazy pictures, whatever, good pictures. I mean, just have fun with your kids. They're only in this season once. They're only in this stage once. So make the most of every opportunity. Number four, real intimacy. Real intimacy. Physically, intimacy, hugs. They don't grow out of those things. Hold their hand. They don't grow out of those things. You're like, well, you know, my kids do. No, they don't have to. They don't have to. I don't buy that. They don't have to. My kids still hug me. You continue just to cultivate it. You know, continue to do bedtime routines. I don't care that your son's 17 years old. He can have a bedtime routine where he can come. You can pray over him. You can speak peace over him, over his dreams and encounters with the Lord, and then you can send him to bed. That physical intimacy is important. through all the stages, even as they go into adulthood. Emotionally also, just to tag along with that, leave space for them to be intimate with you emotionally. And sometimes that's just being quiet and letting them talk. You know, when kids come to us and they need advice, or maybe they're not even necessarily looking for advice, they're just looking to tell us something about their day. Sometimes we just talk too much, right? We just want to fix it. Well, they're not looking to be fixed. They're looking to be heard. So just listen. Go on a walk and say nothing. I guarantee they'll fill the space. Take them to Starbucks and buy them a Frappuccino. They'll fill the space. If you give them the space, they'll fill it. So let them do that for that emotional connection. And the fifth and last thing is just lead well. Leadership is so important. And Danny, you like totally hit this in the, you know, the spiritual thing. And just lead them well, authentically. Let them see you as a leader spiritually, in your relationship, you know, with your spouse or with friends or with your parents. Lead well. Apologize often. Own it when you fail. But lead well in every situation. Practically speaking, you know, there's things that my kids, you know, see me doing, and they've never mentioned it, but I know they see me read the Bible on my phone every morning, and they see Craig do that. They see that. I know they see us take interest in being healthy and eating right and working out and things like that. I know they see that. You know, just let them, just lead well and let them see you lead well. And it will matter to them, and they will pick up on it, and they will carry that on. Some things don't need to be talked about. They just need to be shown. And leadership is one of them. The Bible says this, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And that's one verse that just even recently Craig was looking up, just, you know, the original meaning and things like that, and how to unpack that verse. And we were talking about it because there's a verse over faith that we've prayed since she was just a baby. And that's that our faith doesn't rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. See what we did there? Yeah. And then we were praying over Josiah, and Craig was asking for a verse for his life, you know, and that was to train up a child in the way he should go. And when you look into that verse actually talks about training them up and pushing them in the destiny of God over their life, over their specific life, not generally speaking, but what is the destiny over his life, her life, your kids' lives, training them in that, encouraging them in that, pushing them in that. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. So that's just what I want to encourage with you guys today.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Four great stories, four great perspectives. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. We got a couple tweets going here. Mackenzie and Asia both want to know who your favorite child is. Right? Let's just get down to where it really is. All right, we're gonna just share a couple questions, and we're gonna go home so we can all be with family today. So, first question we want to ask, and it could come from any of you: what was the best piece of advice you were given on parenting? Anybody want to respond to that? Best piece of advice you ever got on parenting? You want to give it a shot?
One of the best pieces of advice, honestly, was choose your battles, but win the ones you choose. Yeah. Don't choose everyone. You don't need to fight every battle, but when you pick one, you finish it.
Someone told me once to take everything that's idealistic, like what your ideal looks like, and just throw it out the window. And I think I've quoted that more times just because what I thought was would be the ideal in parenting, one, it's never going to happen because the house will never be as clean as what I would picture in my ideal. And there might be dishes and there might be clothes that need, there, let's be honest, there are always clothes that need to be put away and that type of thing. But also if I put what I thought was the ideal, I would be selling so short what everything really can look like. And so it just doesn't have to look like what you thought it did. It doesn't have to be ideal. It just has to be us. It has to be who we are. And it's got to work. And it's got to feel good.
Here's the next one. I have small babies and toddlers. I don't have time to spend time with God. And I feel guilty about that. How do I handle this in my journey?
This is right up my alley. I would say, I actually had somebody ask me about this before, and I thought it was a great question. I spend a lot of time talking to God in the car on my way to and from everywhere I go, everywhere. My favorite place is on my way to work in the morning. I just literally blare my worship music. I'm like, nothing's gonna get in my way today, God. You are good, and everything else needs to just, you know, fall to the wayside. But I just would say, like, you find the time and the moments that you have. It's like you're walking to the store. I'm gonna thank you, God, for who you are. I just pray, you know, blessings over my family. Even if it's like 5 minutes, it's like I'm taking that time to connect with God. You may not have an hour, but really, who has an hour? Who has an hour? No one. No one has an hour. So I'd say you take the time where you have the time, and that's just even 5 minutes. Thank you, God.
We've taken the approach and the language that we're a team, that I want to be on my kids' team. So hopefully Kylie won't get mad at me for sharing a story. But when she was little, Kylie has this fantastic imagination, and she's very creative. And there were times where she would say things that honestly were just lies. We sat and we had a very specific conversation about it. And she had asked specifically, am I going to be punished? And we had told her, we're like, you know what? It's not like we can do that. That's one of the tools in the parenting tool belt, but it's not our first one. It's not our go-to. What do you need? How can we be on your team? What do you need from us as parents? And she didn't know, so we told her to take a second and to pray. And she took a second, and she prayed, and she came back, and she said, all your parents are going to laugh at this, she said, do you guys know when I'm not telling the truth? Yeah, baby girl, it's pretty obvious when you're not telling the truth. She goes, can you just ask me? And so it took a little bit of saying, hey, was that your imagination, or is that what really happened, to kind of stop her and make her think about it and stuff like that. But, you know, our kids make decisions, and some of them we don't like. And as I shared in the beginning, I am walking a season in my relationship with my mom that has been really hampered because she didn't agree with a decision that I made. But I knew it was a decision that God had for me to make. The idea that my kids could ever do something like that, could ever make a decision that is so bad that I can't support them, I can't think what that would be. And so when they make one that we don't like, well, we walk with them. We walk the good, we walk the bad. If we walk a long time with them, we walk a long time with them, right? When I make decisions maybe my husband doesn't like, he walks with me. When I make decisions that the Lord doesn't like, he walks with me, right? It's covenants, like we've talked about. And if it's a bad decision, my one very firm value that I have is I don't want my kids to walk through something on their own that they don't have to. And so come tell me if I don't like it, even if you're not going to change it, I certainly want to walk it with you.
Okay, super good. I think we're going to stop right there. There was one last question, and the question was, when am I going to get a full night's sleep? As a parent, not going to happen, right? Okay, all right, never, ever. Let's all stand together. Would you please stand with me this morning? So let's pray. And God bless you for coming today. I pray that something was spoken in your heart with the ladies, or that during worship, God said something to you. He's always talking. So just our making ourselves available to him is really important. So God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the mom's life. God, we thank you for our moms. We all have had one, have one. And Father, I thank you for even my mom passed away many years ago, but God, thank you for her life. Thank you for how she raised me. Thank you, God, that you put her and my dad in my life to demonstrate your goodness, your kindness, and to really demonstrate how to live for you. That's called legacy. And God, I pray we would continue to release that over our children, their house, over our grandchildren. As a Crosspoint family, God, I pray that our legacy would go way beyond the scope of how many people walk in through our doors. But our legacy would be how well we've loved and how well we've been willing to be moms and dads in this house, in this city, in the state of California, if you will. So in Jesus' name, we bless and we honor all of our moms today. We thank you for them. It's in your name we pray.